بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الحمد لله نستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسول الله صلى الله تعالى عليه الصلاة والسلام. قال تعالى في القرآن المجيد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا أطيعوا الله وأطيعوا الرسول ولا تبطلوا أعمالكم. قال رسول الله صلى الله تعالى عليه الصلاة والسلام: من كذب علي متعمدا فليتبوأ مقعده من النار. وكما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام: صدق الله وصدق الرسول ونحن على ذلك من الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين. Respected leaders, listeners, Alhamdulillah, we are now discussing the Wisdom of Actions lesson number 24, and we are going to be discussing the types of mutawatir and the section of types of ahadith. And we have previously mentioned there are four types of mutawatir ahadith, and two we have discussed. I will mention them and briefly describe them so that we have a proper link. Firstly, we have the mutawatir isnad, wherein there is hadith, and this hadith is related by 62 sahaba, so there is no possibility of error or falsity or unreliability, or there is no possibility of concoction and fabrication of them coming together and fabricating such a hadith. It is virtually an impossibility that 62 sahaba come together and now fabricate one hadith. And that's why it is called mutawatir and mutawatir isnad. Then mutawatir tabqa, for example, Quran Kareem. It is a virtual impossibility that a whole entire nation, a group, come together and fabricate Quran Kareem. So from the time of revelation up to now, Quran Kareem comes down in mutawatir tabqa, meaning that this blessed group memorizes it, teaches it, learns it after memorizing it, and then teaches it to the subsequent generation. Then we have mutawatir amal and mutawatir tawarik. This is where a certain practice has been adhered to from the time of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam until the present day by such a large group, where it cannot be said they are all liars or all are in error. For example, the use of miswak, the 5 daily salah, the fast of Ramadan, Hajj, Umrah, Zakat, the rakats of the Faraz Salah, and its comprising of Qiyam, Ruku, Sajda. Now when we look at all this, then remember it has come down generation, from generation to generation. On one side, this action, Qiyam, standing in Salat, Ruku, Sijda, number of Sijda, gap in between the Sijda, number of Ruku, how many times we stand, and the miswak, and the 5 daily salat, the fast of Ramadan, Hajj and Umrah. Now all these are important, and a large group cannot have said they gathered together and formulated these laws. But obviously they saw Nabi Akram Salasim do it, they witnessed him do it, they first hand viewed him, and then they reported it. Forget reporting it, they did it. They followed an action, they did this action. And this action came down from generation to generation, from time to the next time. It was practiced upon, it was learned, it was studied and re-practiced, and then it was sent down from one generation to another generation. Therefore, there is no possibility that they fabricated it. It's a virtual impossibility that they all sat down and fabricated this. How can an entire nation, a generation, fabricate the Hajj and the Umrah and the Miswak and the Rakats of Salat, etc.? The fourth type of mutawatir is Qadr-e Mushtarak. This is where there are numerous narrations, and in each narration there is a different story. But each of the narrations, each of these stories, they comprise one subject. For example, there are numerous incidents reporting regarding the various miracles, miraculous acts of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And these have reached the level of tawatur. Even though in each narration a different miracle of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is being reported, nevertheless, all of them have a common, the fact that the miracles have come from the hands of Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and this fact is corroborated by tawatur. So we should understand this fourth type of mutawatir. First of all, we have understood that mutawatir means continuous in such a nature that the possibility of fabrication does not exist. Now, Qadr-e Mushtarak is very easy for us to understand it. It's common denominator. When we study mathematics, then we come across a section called common denominator, and especially when you do circles and you draw two circles and then you join those circles, you find that where those circles are intertwining and interlacing, then when one circle is going into another circle, that area is called the common ground, or the common cause, or the common denominator, or the common factor. So this mutawatir is similar in nature, that we know Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam performed, and by his hands, miracles, mu'jizas came into existence. So no one can deny the miraculous activities and acts of Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So we have got these four types of mutawatir. One is mutawatir isnad, the other is mutawatir tabaka, the third is mutawatir amal, and the fourth is mutawatir qadr mushtarak. Now, alhamdulillah, we can talk about the khabar wahid. It is the khabar or hadith where the narrators in all the errors, or some of the errors, or in any one error, are less than those of tawatir, whether it be by one, two, three or more. If the narrator or narrators are reliable and honest, then the listener should entertain an opinion, hold a strong presumption of reliability of that narration. It is for this reason that khabar e wahid is also known as dalil e zanni. There is an overwhelming indication in the mind to accept the narration. When the khabar e wahid can be classified as being positive, then it can be used as a certain and strong proof. This we are stating. Why? Because people have got the wrong impression about khabar wahid and also hadith zaif. When it comes to the section of hadith zaif, then the necessary respective academic discussion will be made there. Here we are talking about the khabar wahid. That is why we'll have to expound on it. Because unfortunately, due to lack of knowledge of hadith and the science of hadith and the ramifications of hadith and the definition and understanding of hadith, people willy-nilly, because they think they are scholars, they begin to discard khabar wahid and they begin to discard zaif hadith, and they wrongly define it, misunderstand it, do not willfully, purposely understand it correctly due to lack of knowledge or shortage of knowledge or defectiveness in knowledge. They academically, unwittingly speak ill of khabar wahid and zaif hadiths. So we have to understand the use of the word zan, presumption. The word zan is used in three contexts in Quran al-Karim. Certainty, as we see in Surah Baqarah, Ayat 46, and indeed, Salat is heavy, except upon the fearful ones, those who are certain of meeting their Rabb, and they will return to Him. Yeah, zan is used, meaning certainty. Number two, in Surah Nuh, Ayat 12, Allah says a strong, overwhelming presumption. Where zan is used, meaning a strong, overwhelming presumption. Why did the believing men and women not have a strong presumption of good amongst themselves when they heard it? And then in Surah Hujarat, Ayat 12, the word zan is used but meaning useless and vain suspicion. That, O you who believe, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اِجْتَنُبُوا مِنَ الزَّنِ. That verily some of the suspicions and thoughts, O you who believe, save yourself from much astray thoughts. Because indeed, some suspicion, they are ismun, they are sin, and they have not any knowledge regarding it. They follow nothing except stray thoughts. And indeed, stray thoughts do not benefit the trust in the least bit. Now, those we have to understand and note, those stray thoughts and suspicions which have no proof to support them are rejected. And the Shariat grants absolute no consent to harbor and follow such thoughts. However, to follow a strong presumption is encouraged when the fuqaha, that means the juro-consultants, say that a certain hadith is mufawwiz zan, then they are implying that it is not useless and an unsubstantiated narration. In fact, there is a strong presumption that this narration is true and authentic. Now, through what proof is there a strong presumption that khabar wahid is a hadith? It has been mentioned above that if the narrators are established to be pious, honest, reliable, whether they are one or two, three or four, then there will be a strong presumption that the narration is true and reliable. This will even be so if from the information point of view, the narration may be true or false. The reliability and the integrity of the narrators is a proof that the narration is almost certainly true. So even if the narrators be one, two, or three, or four, that because of the narrators, they are truthful, they are honest, they are reliable, they are pious, they are righteous, it will lead to the hadith being classified as khabar-e wahid or khabar-e zan, but it will be authentic. The reason why it will be authentic is because of the narrator's qualities. The narrators are pious and righteous, and the narrators are good, and they are not suspect, and they have got a good memory, and they are prudent, and they are cautioned, and they are sound, and they are have good memories and well known. Therefore, because of the quality of the narrators, that narration will be classified, although khabar rawayat, khabar zan, but as authentic. Similarly, when someone reports or narrates, the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said such and such, then the muhaddiseen, the scholars of hadith, inspect the proof of its authenticity. Allah Ta'ala reward the muhaddiseen, the scholars of hadith, because they went to great details to preserve the hadith. They did not just haphazardly compile the hadith. Such a detailed ramification and verification took place, and which we are going to talk about. And unfortunately, the Muslim Ummah does not know this, that the hadith, how it came about, what process the hadith underwent. It was just not random picking and choosing, but there is a highly scientific, sophisticated process and procedure whereby the hadiths came into existence. This proof is sought from two angles. One is regarding the integrity of the narrator, and the second is regarding the subject matter of the narration itself. Understand that basically any hadith, you pick up any hadith kitab, there are two components of the hadith. One is the narrators, the chain of narrators, the isnad, the sanad. Sanad, singular, isnad, plural. Now, that is one portion of it. And the second is the matan, the text of the hadith. Now you will find that alhamdulillah, that these two parts of the hadith, the scholars of hadith went at length to verify. They had benchmark, they had criterions, which we are going to mention now, that how they came to a conclusion, and what they investigated for, what they looked for. To simplify, then, if you have got a vehicle, then there are two things. One is the external of that vehicle, and one is the internal, the engine. Now, the professionals, those who are authorities in it, they are able to look at a vehicle from outside, and they will tell you that this car has undergone an accident, or this car is spray painted, or this car was dented, this car was modified, this car was externally changed, the color is not matching, and there was some work done on this car. And you and I, who know nothing about the vehicle, that we cannot even make the shades of differences in the white or the black or whatever it is. But those who have got the eye for it, the experts for it, they just have to go around the vehicle and they say so many things about it, it is unreal. Similarly, that those who are the experts, they just look at the engine, hear the engine, and by the sound of the engine, they can tell you that this is right, this is wrong, this has to be adjusted, this has to be modified, you have to check this, and you have to change this part, you have to alter that part. Whereas people like me, we don't even know what to look out for, what to listen to, where to look, how to look. So the scholars of the Ahadith, the experts of the Ahadith, they were able to look. And now let us see, we are seeing two things they're looking at. One is the integrity of the narrator. And secondly, the subject matter of the narration itself. Now, regarding the integrity of the narrator, they'll set down certain principles. Prior to the scholars of Ahadith accepting a Hadith from any narrator, there is a precondition that he embodies the following qualities. We who are ignorant, we don't even know what to look for. But these scholars of Ahadith, the Muhaddiseen, they put down about six conditions what they were looking for, and what they were searching for. Criterions, they put six clauses, they put down six criterions. And what are these six? That he must be truthful. Through his life he must never have spoken any lie regarding any hadith of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So can you imagine, they got the whole of that person's life history in front. So judge whether this person spoke a lie about Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam, about any hadith of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and what is his character. And he must be, number two, sound mind. That means he must never have been stupid or dense in the mind, that he does not err in understanding the hadith. Another strict quality, sound in mind. That means this person must not be foolish or stupid, or he must not be thick-headed, he must not be stubborn, and he must be clear-minded, must not err in the understanding of the hadith. Thirdly, he must have a good memory. He must not have excessive forgetfulness, doubts or misgivings. So they are looking at the person from all angles, all sides, all avenues. Fourthly, he must be reliable and pious. He must not be a fasik, a sinner. He must not be a fajr, an open sinner. He must not be a fahish person, an immoral person. So basically, they've got the person, the narrator's whole life in front of them. And that's why there are books written on Asma'i Rijal, that on the life history of the narrators of the Ahadith. What details are found there is mind-boggling. So this is not a by-the-way science. It is a highly sophisticated science, analyzing in detail, minute detail, the life history of the narrators. Fifthly, that person must be cautious and prudent person. In narrating and relating any hadith, he must have a careless and must not have a careless or easygoing attitude. He must be fearing Allah Ta'ala all the time. He must be well known, sixthly, and not a non-entity, insofar as his knowledge, piety, reliability and memory is concerned. So alhamdulillah, that these scholars of Ahadith, they went into details concerning the integrity of the narrator. So they have got an x-ray in front of them about the narrator, his truthfulness, his sound mind, his good memory, his reliability and piousness, his cautious and prudent personality, and his knowledge, his piety, reliability, memory, and that he is not careless in any affair, or he is not easygoing, and when he is narrating, he is fearing Allah and Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam's position, and he is not a stupid or a foolish person, he is upright in nature, he is not a sinner, he is not an open sinner, he is not an immoral person. So can you imagine how much of details have been gone into classifying and categorizing the narrator of the hadith? In lesson number 25, we will discuss regarding the subject matter of the hadith. Now we have, alhamdulillah, mentioned in this session about the hadith wahid and the hadith zan, and zan is a proof not to be discarded, and the quality of the narrator, the integrity of the narrator, and so many things we have mentioned. The muhaddiseen have made it very easy for us so that we can easily classify the character and assess the personality of the narrator. Thus we can safely verify and classify the hadith itself. So much of sophisticated analysis have been gone into that this is historic in nature, and this is the beauty of Islam, and this proves that we have got a deen that is verified, testified, and it is checked from every angle. So the hadith is just not a mere saying of Rasulullah, but has been analyzed from every angle, so that we are certain that alhamdulillah we have got a deen that is verified, we got a shariat that is compiled properly, systematically, and we can safely rely on it. May Allah Ta'ala grant us ability to understand the sunnah and hadith of Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam as a source of law. Wa akhir da'wa alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.